Support comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President. UUPinfo.org.
The Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Dr. Donald Levy, director of the Siena College Research Institute. Donald, you were with us just before the election and agreed to come back, and we thank you for doing so. You are terrific. Welcome back. I appreciate your being here.
Fantastic. Great to be with you, Alan.
So, now we see the famous Siena poll. There's some good news of a sort for Governor Andrew Cuomo in this latest poll from you guys. Despite most elected Democrats in New York calling for his resignation over a sexual harassment and nursing home scandal, half of all voters think Cuomo should stay for now. And 57% are satisfied with the way Cuomo has so far addressed the allegations of sexual harassment from multiple women. The poll also finds 60% of the voters still think Cuomo did a good job managing the COVID-19 pandemic, virtually unchanged from a poll 1 month ago before the scandal heated up. But the governor's political support among Democrats is plummeting. His favorable rating among Democrats dropped more than 30 points since February, and fewer than half of the Democrats think that the governor should try to seek a fourth term next year. Okay, Don Levy, what do you think of all of this?
Well, you went through a tremendous amount of the poll, which is fitting because certainly we poll New York State voters virtually every single month. We've been doing that for many, many years. So we've been asking questions about Governor Andrew Cuomo for a very, very long time, and we track every aspect of his work, his administration, how New Yorkers feel towards him. And I think the, you know, as we get into this conversation, what we see in this poll is that New York voters are able to compartmentalize. They have different views about Governor Cuomo. Clearly, his favorability rating, the assessment that New Yorkers have or had throughout this year of his handling of the pandemic, has been very, very strong, of course, with the notable exception most recently of the release of data concerning nursing home fatalities. But he built up a tremendous amount of capital. You know, he was getting favorability ratings. He was getting job performance ratings that were almost unparalleled during the spring as he was forthrightly conducting his press conferences on a daily basis discussing the pandemic. And as you know, you know, right now when we ask New Yorkers about the job that Andrew Cuomo is doing handling the addressing the coronavirus, he still gets 60% who approve, 33% who disapprove. That's down from where it was previously, but that's still a fantastic approval rating. Simultaneously, we find that New Yorkers are telling us that they've heard a great deal about the allegations of sexual harassment. And right now, relative to the governor's favorability, his job performance, his numbers, whether it's amongst Democrats or across the board, are falling. So it's having an effect. But simultaneously, New Yorkers are saying, you know, I still think the governor is doing a good job on the pandemic. Majorities approve of the manner in which he is conducting the vaccine rollout. 54-39, they feel as though the vaccine rollout is going well. Implementing plans for reopening New York, 52% say he's doing an excellent or good job. But simultaneously, right now, 35% say that he should resign immediately. 50% say he should not resign immediately. So New Yorkers are looking right now, to some extent, through the window of the pandemic, and they're waiting. They're waiting to hear about the investigation. They're waiting for any new stories that start to come out. It's an extremely fluid situation. But right now, our poll shows that the general sense of public opinion is a little different than the sense you get when you simply listen to elected officials who have seemingly in very, very large numbers decided that it's time for the governor to resign. That's not the position of the of public opinion in the state of New York right now.
That's so interesting. You know, I've been teaching my students for years. Of course, I'm not doing it anymore because I'm not teaching anymore. That everybody hates the legislature, period. So now you got the two major legislative leaders ganging up on the governor, along with the people who assiduously, let's put it that way, follow the leadership of the people who are running things. And you have this whole congressional delegation, or very close to it, calling for his ouster. So you have the President of the United States, Don Levy, saying that if the investigation goes bad for him, he should resign. However, there does seem to be a disconnect between the voters in the state and all of these powerful political figures. What do you make of it?
Well, we asked the voters a question about how satisfied they were with the apology that the governor had offered, as well as his statement that he was going to cooperate with the investigation. There we saw a very strong number that at this point in time, 57% of New Yorkers say that they are satisfied with the way that the governor has to date addressed the allegations against him. 67% of Democrats are satisfied. You know, you look across the crosstab, 71% of black voters, 54% of white voters. Really, the only group that is less than satisfied with the manner in which the governor is addressing the allegations are Republicans and conservatives. But still, 36% of Republicans say that they're satisfied with the manner in which the governor is addressing the allegations. So, you know, that you know, how do you interpret that? You know, it seems to interpretable as okay, the governor did not attack the women who came forward. In fact, he said they deserve the right to be heard. He did not say that the investigation is a witch hunt, for example. He said, we will cooperate. So New Yorkers find that at this point in time satisfactory at the rate of 57%. So apparently they're not listening to you know, what some of the legislative leaders have said. They are concerned. I'll point out, for example, you know, a question that is not specific to the governor that we asked: how significant a problem do you think sexual harassment in the workplace is in New York? Right now, 81% of New Yorkers think that is a somewhat or very significant problem. We've asked that question before. It's up about 10 points from where it has been. So New Yorkers are sensitized to the issue. They're concerned about the issue. Clearly, the governor's numbers have taken a hit. But right now, they're not necessarily satisfied with the complete story, but they're satisfied with how he's addressing the allegations. He's saying, I will participate in the investigation. He's saying that he offered an apology. You know, that was you know, we phrased that quite carefully. We said he has offered an apology. We didn't make a statement one way or another on the apology, but we said, how satisfied are you with the way he's handling it? And right now, a majority of New Yorkers are saying that, and they appear to be saying, let's see the investigation out. Let's let it take its course. They're reserving judgment. And clearly, the governor's numbers could erode. The governor's numbers could rebound. You know, right now, sitting at 50% who say he should not resign immediately, those people are in effect saying, tell me more. Let's see how the investigation plays out.
How about upstate, downstate, Don Levy? We know that he's more popular, has been more popular downstate than upstate up to now. Is that holding up?
It is, you know, but if you simply look at the question on resignation, Downstate, the should not is about 2-1 in New York City, should not, 55-28. Upstate, it's closer at 47-39, but you still see a plurality of upstaters saying should not. So the governor has more support in New York City than he does upstate. He has dramatic support amongst African-American voters. 69% of black voters say he should not resign. 71% of African-American voters say they are satisfied with the way he's addressed the allegations. But again, we don't see, although his support or the openness that voters have to allow the investigation to play out is weaker upstate than it is in New York City. But on that question as well, by 49-40, upstaters say they are satisfied with the manner in which the governor is addressing the allegations.
Interesting. Now, one of the things that fascinates me is we have two major leaders of color, the Speaker and the Majority Leader of the New York State Senate, really leading the charge against Cuomo. And yet, as you say, African Americans, when polled, seem to be with the governor. What do you make of that?
Well, at this point in time, and we poll these legislative leaders, whether it's Leader Hastie or Stuart Cousins, they remain relatively unknown to many New Yorkers. 71% of New Yorkers don't have an opinion on Carl Hastie. 68%, virtually the same number, don't have an opinion on Andrew Stuart Cousins. So while they have, Hastie's number is 16 favorable, 14 unfavorable. I would guess that if we ran Alan Chartok, you might have a higher name recognition than either of the legislative leaders. I don't know. Maybe we'll run your name sometime soon. Kathy Hochul, the lieutenant governor, right, is known to slightly more New Yorkers. Perhaps she gets a little boost. She's somewhat more well-known upstate, given her Buffalo area roots and the fact that she represented, that area in Congress at one point. But she's only known, 23 favorable, 14 unfavorable. So although the leaders are clearly extremely important people, influential within the circle of elected officials, they simply are not as influential across the broad swath of New York voters. They are not as well known. Now, Senator Schumer, far more well known. He has a 49% favorability rating, which is actually down a bit since he's become Senate Majority Leader from prior to him assuming that position. Clearly, the governor faces an uphill fight with as many elected officials as have called for him to step down, step aside, etc. That hasn't yet convinced a majority of New York State voters that that's the appropriate course of action.
Now, the governor has told me and a lot of other people that he was going to run for another term. His father couldn't make that fourth term. He wanted to do it. Right now, we're seeing his numbers holding up. So the question is, while people said to you they didn't think he should run again, could he get away with it?
Well, it's certainly, as you well know, an eternity until that decision is going to be made. This was an enormous decline he had in that reelect number. A month ago, he was a break even on a reelect, as against someone else. And it's always a tough bar when you pit an incumbent governor, senator, et cetera, against someone else. So last month, he was 46-45 as far as New Yorkers saying that they would reelect the governor or someone else. That's fallen now. So he went from a plus one to a negative 18. Now only 34% say they would reelect him, 52% would prefer someone else. So that's when we graph that ultimately, that's going to be a sharp line that fell. And Democrats, he moved from 65% of Democrats saying that they would reelect him to only 46% that say that they would. So right now is probably not the moment, where the governor or any member of his team would want to concentrate on reelect. I think they're concentrating right now on can he effectively govern, and how well will he fare during the balance of this investigation. So it's way too early to say what will happen, but his prospects for a fourth term certainly have taken a hit at this point.
Right. Okay. 36% of the voters, according to your polls, say they have gotten vaccinated. Another 40% say they plan to. And an incredible 21% who do not plan to get the vaccine, down from 25% in January and 22% last month. So what do you make of that?
Well, that seems to be a number that's hard to move. And we see a similar number nationally. We saw a similar number released most recently relative to elected members of Congress. I think that number was about 1 out of 4, 25%, who are standing members of Congress who say they will not get vaccinated. So clearly there is, you know, whether it's 21% here in New York, this is 21% of voters, so that number could be slightly different when we go across the board of all New Yorkers. But there seems to be a group of people who continue, whether it's because they think the, as we've polled before, that the vaccine was developed too quickly, that it may be dangerous, they don't feel as though they need it, you know, that we can't seem to crack beneath that 21% mark. It's indeed encouraging that in our poll we're up to slightly more than a third of New York State voters who say they have been vaccinated. But we may or may not be able to move that that last group of 21%. I will also note that, you know, we have seen a dramatic difference in the question that we ask as to whether you think the worst of the pandemic is over or the worst is still to come. So right now, 65% of New York voters say that they think the worst is over. You know, and that's a dramatic change from even just a month ago when it was 46-36. And prior to that, only 31% in January thought the worst was over. So we've seen, you know, a real sea change in how New Yorkers feel towards the pandemic. And I would link that back to the governor's support amongst the electorate. It's impossible not to, on some level, surmise that voters are crediting Andrew Cuomo to some degree with this feeling that they have now that we're getting through it. I can see the other side. As more people are vaccinated, as more and more businesses and the frequenting of businesses takes place, there is a certain crediting that goes to the governor. And I think that's reflected in his numbers on how he's handled it, with that one really, really notable exception in terms of the reporting of data on nursing home deaths.
So the people who are not willing to take the vaccine, or at least tell you that, Republicans or Democrats, can you answer that?
We can say that there is a slightly greater tendency. I'm flipping through here quickly so I don't misstate. But yes, there is a greater tendency amongst Republicans to say that they are not going to get vaccinated. Republicans right now, interestingly, are about a third, a third, a third. A third have already gotten vaccinated, a third plan to. But we're right at 33% of Republican voters across the state who say they do not plan to get vaccinated. Amongst Democrats, only 14% say they do not plan to get vaccinated. So certainly there's a notable difference. Interestingly, amongst black voters, slightly more, 36% of black voters say they do not plan to get vaccinated. So I would hazard a guess that that number, the 36% of African-American voters who don't plan to get vaccinated, speaks to a fair portion of the 14% of Democrats who do not plan to get vaccinated. The other group that is not planning on getting vaccinated at a high rate is young people, 18 to 34 years old. 36% of that group say they do not plan to get vaccinated.
Let's talk a little bit about legalizing the recreational use of marijuana in New York. Support is currently 59 to 33%, down a little from 63 to 29%. What do you attribute that to?
I think that's really just noise within a survey, to tell you the truth. You know, we've been hovering in the upper 50s. You know, last month's number at 63 was a high point. But I think that public opinion right now is relatively fixed on that. On that issue, you know, sitting at very close to 2-1. Certainly, in some polling that we've done, we see that the public is sort of convinced that there will be a financial benefit to the state. Also, there's a realization that adult recreational cannabis use is legalized in Massachusetts, you know, New Jersey. Connecticut is moving that way, so it seems as though there's a sense of inevitability that will take place in New York. Concerns over, you know, how the law is structured to provide for equity for communities that have disproportionately suffered at historically over marijuana arrests and criminalization, as well as access to the cannabis business. And the other issue of, you know, protecting people, you know, from traffic incidents and or work-related, those are concerns. And the 33% that are opposed share those concerns. But it certainly does appear as though that that legalization has a sense of inevitability about it and appears headed for legalization in some fashion within this upcoming session, whether it's in the budget or outside of the budget.
Let me ask you about the right direction question, which you quite frequently ask. What are we hearing about whether New York is moving in the right direction or not?
Well, right now, 48% of New Yorkers think we're on the right track. 38 say we're moving in the wrong direction. We're seeing a partisan divide there. Democrats overwhelmingly say that we're moving in the right track, 66%. Republicans overwhelmingly say we're moving in the wrong direction. And independents fitting right in the middle, as, you know, almost predictably they seem to, are really split evenly as to whether we are or are not. I think we need to watch that carefully. It's certainly a question as to how will the governor's the investigation of the governor, how will that affect the manner in which he governs the state? Can he successfully compartmentalize and continue managing the pandemic, moving forward a budget, handling the state's fiscal situation, integrated, which I think, you know, obviously the COVID relief package is going to go a long way towards generating and providing some funding that the state certainly needs. There have been some reporting that the state's fiscal situation wasn't quite as dire as initially projected. And, you know, that question also, as you know, Alan, is the very first question we ask in the survey. It's both a political and economic question. It's the first chance that a respondent has to say, basically, how's it going, right? How do you think it's going?
Yeah, right.
And, you know, we may very well see, you know, we're right now seeing, for example, in New York City, that number is at 60%, right track, a very strong number. So if indeed the sun comes out, more people are vaccinated, more businesses are open, we get a budget that we feel as though we can live with. We see, you know, other issues start to satisfy the voter. We could very well see that right track number go up a little bit more. But I think, obviously, the voters of the state of New York would like to see a resolution to this scandal facing the governor one way or another. And if we get into a protracted issue, if there is, for example, a move to impeach the governor, you know, then I think that will ultimately be reflected in a curtailing of right track. But, you know, it sets up to be a dramatic spring where we could simultaneously feel as though we are doing better relative to the pandemic, individually, socially, from community well-being, but also economically, while at the same time we could be mired in a protracted issue relative to this investigation. So, you know, we'll continue to track that each and every month.
So pollsters are back in people's good graces. There was a period there when people were yelling about the polls getting it wrong. Don Levy, what do you think?
Well, I think that pre-election polling, as we've discussed, is one component of what we do. You know, we have been studying the approximate 4 to 5 point error that we and other pollsters suffered in the 2020 presidential. But at the same time, I think the thirst, as we've discussed before, for data like this, for data about the ongoing affairs of the state, the country, the ongoing stances that people have on the issues of the day, you know, the desire to get that information remains extremely high. And I think that, you know, to those who pay attention to us, you know, we continue to be as transparent as we possibly can, and we seek to provide a public service. So, you know, we licked our wounds, we study those, you know, for example, we're doing a study that we haven't published yet that, you know, I'd be happy to come on and discuss with you at a later date. We're looking for the voter who is less likely to speak to us. We've identified that voter. Our nickname for that voter is anti-establishment people, who tend to believe that the media is perhaps fake news, who tend to believe that perhaps the 2020 election was stolen, that there was a high rate of fraud, and our data points to a problem that we have that that person, who may be of a various demographic, is simply systematically less likely to answer our poll. And when the question is direct to their issues, that can lead to a understatement of their position. So that's something that we're investigating.
We're out of time. Our guest has been the wonderful Dr. Donald Levy, director of the Siena College Research Institute, home of the famous Siena Poll. Dr. Levy, thanks so much for joining us. We can't wait to see you again. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, Alan. Thank you.